Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
So everybody, we are talking about idols and ideologies. And this is kind of 2.0. We actually looked at this last year and we really felt, Jess and I and the team, we really felt that we want to look at this again because it is such a real thing in the world we live in and in our lives. And here's how we define what an idol is. An idol, according to St. Augustine, he said, an idol is a substitute for God that takes the place of the creator in the creature's heart. Tim Keller, Presbyterian gospel preaching pastor, passed away this year actually, but amazing preacher of the gospel. He said this, anything more important to you than God, anything that absorbs your heart and imagination more than God, anything you seek to give you what only God can give you is an idol. That's what an idol. Everyone say idol. Very good. An idol. That's what we're talking about today. And here's what I want you to imagine this. Can you close your eyes? Everybody close your eyes. Imagine with me. Imagine. Close your eyes. And just imagine. Imagine yourself living life completely uninhibited in who or by anything, in who you are, in your designed and created identity, not living insecure, not living in fear. Imagine no longer being sabotaged in your confidence, your relationships, your calling in life. Imagine you have a clean and clear conscience. Imagine your heart full of love, full of God's love, full of the Spirit of God flowing in your life. Imagine people recognize God in you, not by anything you said, but just by who you are. Imagine living free from the fear of missing out, living free from the fear of not having enough, from the fear of not being enough. Imagine living with a heart full of hope and joy and resilience and full of faith. Everybody, open your eyes. This is what God wants for us, that we are living abundant, that we are living free in our identity in Christ. But this means to really live in the image of God, in the design of God, to really be who we are truly called to be, it means getting free from idols. Idols rob us of the reflection of God in us, our image of God. It robs us of our true identity that we get when God is number one. And this really matters because, hey, church, God wants you to be free. Listen, God wants you free. It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. And in this freedom, God wants us to live in the fullness of our identity and therefore be immersed in our Creator, not immersed in created things. Not relying on created things for our identity, but relying on our Creator for our identity. Come on, church, that's good news. That's what God wants for us. So we're going to go to the book of Romans. Romans. Go to Romans 1, chapter 1, 18 to 23, reading in the ESV. If you got your Bible, grab it. If you don't, we've got it on the screen here. Let's have a look at this together. It says, chapter 1, Paul's writing to the Roman church. It says this, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made, so that they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God. They knew God, but did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking and foolish in their hearts. And sorry, their foolish hearts were darkened, claiming to be wise because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped. Here's the clincher, everybody. You listening? Lean in. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and they worshiped and served this creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Here Paul is talking about the worship of created things rather than the Creator. And listen, when we worship created things over the Creator, when we love created things more than we love God, when we rely on created things more than we rely on our Creator, everything goes wrong. Everything goes wrong. Everything gets out of order. Everything drifts into chaos when we worship and we love created things more than we love our Creator. And here's the thing to understand. There's actually nothing wrong with created things. God created things and he said it was good. So the things that God created, he created good things. There's nothing wrong with created things. What's wrong with created things is when they replace the Creator in our lives. Idols, here's the thing about idols. This is why they're very sneaky. Idols are not bad things. Idols are good things that we end up loving more than God. So they're not wrong. They're not these big, bad, ugly beasts in our life. They're often the good things that we have in life, but they've become supreme in our life. They've become what we worship and what we rely on in our life more than God. Good things like, you ready? Here's a list of good things. Good things like career. Career is a good thing. Good things like family, like children, good things. Spouse, political cause can be a good thing. Physical appearance, it's not a bad thing, a good thing. Romance, hello, romance. All the married people, all the single people, romance. Human approval, it's a good thing. Power, financial security, it's a good thing. Comfort. These are all good things. But St. Augustine, he says this, the essence of sin is disordered love. The essence of sin is disordered love. Loves that are out of order. We are loving something first that should actually be second, maybe third or even fourth. Sin actually starts to become a part of our lives when we have disordered love, when our love for things is out of order. For example, if you love your career more than your family, you will end up sacrificing your family for your career. It's an out of order love. Disordered love is when we love something that actually we should love. It's not a wrong thing to love, but we love it supremely. And we love God. We're talking about when we don't love God first, our love is out of order. And, you know, we end up with consequences because of disordered love. Like when someone has sacrificed their children on the altar of their career, one day their career will end. And the career will abandon you. And you will be left with the reality and the realization of love that was out of order. Family should have been a greater love than your career. But we end up laying down our family to love our career more. That will abandon you. And this is what you need to know about idols, everybody. Listen, idols will abandon you. Idols do not have your back. Idols, they might be good for a season, but they do not last forever. Idols might give you a sense of security for a little while. An idol might give you security for a season of life, comfort for a little while, but they will always abandon you. They will always leave you brokenhearted. It will always leave you empty. If not now, soon it will. Things, created things, will abandon us. They will not handle the pressure. And this is a reality. Created things cannot bear the weight of your hopes and desires. Created things were not made to bear the weight of your hopes and desires. Only God, everybody, only God can handle and bear the burden of your hopes and desires, your need for purpose, your need for meaning, your need for significance. Only God can bear that weight, not things, not things. Things can't do it. And, you know, for example, if we think of a professional athlete, a sporting athlete, often when an athlete has a career-ending injury, doctors will tell you that not only do they need physical care and therapy, they need mental and emotional therapy. And usually, if there's been a career-ending injury for an athlete, a really good athlete, depression will set in. And the injury sends this athlete into an existential crisis where they are questioning who they are. Who am I? Who am I? And it's devastating because when they've lost their athleticism, when it's totally been wiped out, it removes their reason for being. It wipes out their reason for being for an athlete, a really good athlete. And, you know, this can happen. I've been watching this documentary on Netflix. Anyone you watch Netflix? It's okay. It's not a sin. It's okay. It's okay. Netflix. I mean, some stuff on Netflix is not great, but Netflix. I watch this show, Tyson Fury. It's kind of the documentary about Tyson Fury. And it's amazing. You look at his life. He's got six kids. He's the heavyweight champion of the world. He's the best in history, the Gypsy King. Knocked everybody out, hasn't lost a fight. Beautiful wife, family, wealthy as can be. And he says in this documentary, he has retired three times. Three times he retired. And each time he went back into boxing. And he says in this documentary that whenever he retired from boxing, he would feel the sense that he had lost all meaning and lost all purpose and lost all reason for living. He's got everything. But boxing, his career, his sporting career, was so supreme in his life that without it, he felt as though life was not worth living. This is an idol. This is an idol. I wonder what could be taken away from you that would make you feel like life's not worth living. What things could be removed that would make you question your existence, question your identity? Whatever thing that you would feel lost without, that's a sign that that thing is probably an idol. And remember, it's good things. It's good things. It's not bad things. It's good things. But those good things cannot handle the weight of your need for purpose, your need for meaning, and your need for significance. And listen, that need for meaning, for purpose, for significance is God-given. It's a God-given thing. It's not an evil thing. It's a God-given need. You need purpose. You need meaning. You need significance. And I want to tell you today, you are significant. Come on, tell the person next to you. Do this, everybody. Tell them you are significant. Tell them. Yeah, good job. Tell them. Tell someone you are significant. Okay, once you've done that, come back. Come back. Here we are. Come back. Are you with me? Here's the reality. You are significant, but I love what C.S. Lewis said. He said, if I find myself with a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. When we find in ourselves this desire for significance, this deep need for meaning and purpose that goes beyond ourselves and beyond our world, that's a sign that we were not made for this world, that we came from another world, that we actually belong to God. If you have an insatiable need for approval and affirmation and real love that you will not find in a partner, that you will not find in this world, that's a sign that you actually come from another world. That's a sign that you are a created being, made for a creator. And so we need to understand it's to thirst is not wrong. To be a thirsty person, being thirsty. And my understanding, thirsty is not that you need a drink, but I understand that if you're thirsty, you're kind of a bit desperate for a relationship. You're a bit of a desperate person, a bit thirsty. And it reminds me of the woman at the well in the Gospel of John. Jesus meets this woman at the well, Samaritan woman, and when he meets her at the well, she's thirsty. And when I say thirsty, I don't mean she needs a drink of water, I mean she's desperate. And you know what? Jesus meets her at her point of desperation. She's had five husbands. She's now with her sixth man. She meets Jesus at the well. Jesus is the seventh man. And everything she's been searching for, everything she's been looking for, ends her search when she finds Jesus. And what Jesus doesn't say, he does not condemn her for being thirsty. He doesn't get angry at her for being thirsty. He just says, I'm what you're looking for. I am the thirst quencher. I am who you've been looking for all these years. And I want to say to you, if you're desperate, that's good. I pray for a desperate church. I pray that we are not indifferent, we are not apathetic, but we're desperate. And when you're desperate, you will find that the only person who can fulfill and satisfy your desperate need for love, significance, meaning, purpose is Jesus. Jesus is the only one. And Jesus is that. Look what John 7, 37 to 38 says. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, if anyone thirsts, he's dumb. No. If anyone thirsts, I'm judging you. No. If anyone thirsts, sort your life out. No. He says, if anyone thirsts, come to me and drink. Come to me and drink. If you're thirsty, you need Jesus, because he is where that thirst ends, where our need is fulfilled in him. And I want to remind you, God is a jealous God. God is not indifferent about us. Exodus 34 in verse 14, it says, for you shall worship no other God, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. Why is God jealous? It's not because he's insecure. It's because he won't share. It's because he loves you so much. Just like if one person in a relationship cheats on the other person, if that person is indifferent about them having another relationship, there wasn't really love in that relationship. But if that person who's been cheated on is angry and jealous, that's the sign of love. The opposite of love is not hate and anger. The opposite of love is indifference. And praise be to God that he's not indifferent about us, that when we have idols and we have other things that we're relying on more than God, he's mad. God is mad about it. God got mad about it in the Old Testament. A bad king was someone who allowed idols. A good king under God was someone who removed the idols and brought the people back to God. God cares and loves us enough that he gets mad. He's jealous for our love. He loves you so much. And here's the thing, as I close, over the next few weeks, we're going to look at a few different idols. We're going to look at the idol of ego. We're going to look at the idol of comfort. We're going to look at the idol of sex. We're going to look at the idol of fear. And what we will find is when we are living with that idol and not God as number one, our world is out of order, we will find that we live in either excess or deficit, but neither are good. So look at this table. I've got a table here. We're going to pull this up. Thank you to our team for creating this table. Look at this. For each idol that we're going to be looking at, we're going to look at the excess and the deficit. But what we will find is when God is at the center of our lives, he will cause us to live by virtue. In 2 Peter, Peter says, add to your faith virtue. Virtue is the middle ground where we are not living in excess or deficit. We're living as God has designed us to live. So when it comes to ego, when we're in excess, we're proud. When we're in deficit, we have self-hatred. When we're in God, we have humility. Let's look at the idol of comfort. When we're in excess, we're lazy. When we're in deficit, we're a workaholic. But in God, we are diligent. When we look at the idol of sex, when we're in excess, we're in lust. When we're in deficit, we're in sexual repression. When we're in God, we live by sexual purity. When we look at the idol of fear, when we're in excess, we fear everything, fear of missing out, fear in life. When we're in deficit, we're reckless. We don't care about our lives. But when we're in God, we have courage. So church, what I believe God wants to do in our lives over the next few weeks is together, listen, I'm closing, listen. We're going to recognize the idol. That's the first thing. We've got to recognize it. And then once we've recognized, hey, this thing in my life has become more important to me than God, we need to recognize it. Once we've recognized it, we need to repent from it. What is repentance? To turn away, to no longer attribute it as our supreme love, that thing, that created thing, to turn back to our Creator. We've got to recognize it, repent from it, and then we need to reorientate our lives around God as our supreme love. And when God is our supreme love, we will find ourselves living by the virtue, adding to our faith virtue, as Peter says, so that we live free from idols and we live according to God's design for our lives. Amen. Come on, church, everyone say amen. Amen. We're going to have a great few weeks ahead of us as a church together. It's going to be an awesome summer. I love you heaps. I'm going to hand over the team. They're going to pray for us and lead us through this next part of the service. God bless you guys. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. Don't forget, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at c3.syd. We look forward to having you back soon.